This is Sunday morning, April the 20th of 1985. As far as we're concerned, it's a rainy day here. Maybe that's indicative of a spiritual repression. We certainly trust so. This is the second part of the series that we're doing on tape regarding the glory of Yahweh. In Ezekiel 1, and we want to read a part of the last verse, we read these words. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. This whole first chapter of Ezekiel has to do with a vision of the glory of Yahweh. Now, it falls into many segments, and we're going to try to take these segments one at a time. In the first part of the series, we talked about the time element, as was given in the first part of this chapter. Then we read on, beginning at the third verse, and the word of Yahweh came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of Yahweh was there upon him. Now this fourth verse gives us another segment of the vision of the glory of Yahweh. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Now I'm going to stop right there, because the rest of the verse goes into the cloud and the fire and the brightness and so forth. But I want to deal with the first part of the fourth verse. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. Now, the word whirlwind is from it's come from two Hebrew words. We have the word ruach, which means to blow or breathe. It means wind or life or spirit. And then we have another Hebrew word, S-E-A-R-A-H, which means to rush or toss, whirlwind, tempest, or storm. Now we have the combination of these two words in the word whirlwind. Now it's very interesting to note, in regards to the word whirlwind, also meaning spirit. For you will find in Genesis, the first chapter, it says that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. Now, as was pointed out to me by our brother John Green, the first use of the word Spirit in the Scriptures is a setting or a stage for what is to follow. And the word Spirit is feminine. And the word moved or brooded is also feminine. You have a picture of, say, a mother hen brooding over her young. This is feminine. And so the stage is set there in Genesis 1 that the Spirit is the feminine part of the Godhead, or we shall term it the Mother God. I don't like to use the term God, but I'm only using it here to clarify a point. She is the Mother in the Godhead, the Spirit is. And the Spirit broods and moves and nurtures and comforts and cares for. When you get into the New Testament, you have the Spirit referred to as a comforter. Is it not the Mother that comforts, nourishes, nestles, broods over the young? Of course it is. And it's a beautiful picture of the motherhood of the Godhead. Now when we get into the book of Ezekiel, we have the word here, whirlwind, and you'll find that it also is feminine. So a part of the revelation of the glory of Yahweh is the motherhood or the spirithood that is in the Godhead. And here we find it shown to Ezekiel as a whirlwind coming out of the north. Now, when you go into the New Testament in Acts, the second chapter, you have a very interesting wording there where it says, and the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the room where they were sitting. And then it goes on to tell how that the fire sat upon their heads and how they spake and glorified the Most High in other languages. They were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with something feminine, not masculine. The Father is masculine in the Godhead. The Mother is feminine. And I think it's very interesting that in the very beginning of this revelation of the vision of the glory of Yahweh, we are brought face to face with the whirlwind, which is feminine. And this whirlwind came through. And I'm sure that Ezekiel marveled at the action of this whirlwind. Well, then as you began to search through the scriptures, you find some very, very interesting things. For instance, in 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, and the 1st verse, through the 11th verse, you will find that Elijah is promised that he is to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And then in the 11th verse, it says he was taken up in a whirlwind. Now, a lot of people say that Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. Oh, no. It says that the chariot of fire came and parted between Elijah and Elijah. But Elijah went up in a whirlwind into another dimension. Now, as we come into the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh, we are brought face to face with the fact that the motherhood, or the mother in the Godhead, is the whirlwind, and the whirlwind has an elevating effect. It has a lifting effect. It has the effect of cutting loose the bonds of gravity. It has the effect of carrying, of being borne up. And as it was with Elijah, we are now faced with a revelation of the glory of Yahweh and the revelation of the Mother in the Godhead, which is the Spirit. And this very revelation begins to lift us inwardly and elevate us inwardly in our spiritual hearts. And it takes hold of the mind, and it begins to elevate and lift our thinking into another dimension. It says that Elijah was taken up into heaven. That is another dimension. Actually, if you want to be technical, the earth itself is a part of the heavens. We look out from the earth, and we look up into the starry expanse, or up into the blue sky, and we say that is heaven. But the earth itself is situated right in this very expanse that we call the heaven. Anything from the surface of the earth up, we get air, we get into the ionosphere, we get into the stratosphere, we get into all of this. Anything from the ground up is another dimension. Now, I grant you that we have the prince of the power of the air to deal with. We have evil spirits that are in the heavenlies with which we contend. But it is another dimension, and as we are moved up or elevated by the Spirit into another dimension, we are forcing the other spirits, the evil spirits, we are forcing them down to the earth. And that's why there is such an awful situation in the world today. These spirits are forced downward, and we are being carried upward by the action, the whirlwind action of the Spirit, which is a part of the glory. Now, I want to remind you, as I have said before, the word glory is kabod, and it means heavy. There is nothing light about this. This is heavy. And when you begin to deal in a spiritual realm, you begin to come against some pressures that would press you one way while you are being elevated into another dimension. I would like to say that it is easy to get into the spirit realm. I would like to say that it is all light and glorious as far as the glory of Yahweh is concerned. But it is not so. We are being brought into a final battle with spirits that are trying to usurp the heavenlies. And this is all a part of the revelation of the glory of Yahweh. I grant you there is brightness. I grant you there is light. There are many things connected with the glory that are all glorious, but there are a lot of things connected with it that are heavy. It is interesting to note that from the same Hebrew word kabod, from which we get the word glory, we also get the word liver, because the liver is the heaviest organ in the body. And it is the liver that does a lot of the purifying and detoxifying and brings about a cleanness in the system whereby the physical body can even exist. The same is true with the glory. When you get into the reality of the glory of Yahweh, you're getting into a realm of purification and detoxification whereby you are brought into a lighter state, not only spiritually and mentally, but also physically. But the pressures of getting into it are an entirely different story. There is no easy way in. And I'd like to repeat that again. There is no easy way into the understanding and the reality of the glory of Yahweh. But it is true that as the motherhood of the Godhead is revealed, there is a lifting, there is an upsurge, there is a change of our mental thinking. There is a moving that brings us into another dimension. It brings us into a higher plane, into a higher level of understanding, into places where we have never been before spiritually. The whirlwind carried, lifted, elevated, took Elijah up into heaven. And the whirlwind, which is the activity of the Spirit, will also lift you into another dimension. You say, but didn't he go straight into heaven? Isn't that where he is? I wish I had some answers for you along that line. All I can say is that he was taken into a dimension of the heavenlies because after his declaration, there was a letter that came from Elijah and was given to the king. Now how, if he was totally taken away from all contact with the earth, how could he write a letter and have it delivered to the king? No, he was in another dimension of existence whereby he had access to the earth and could produce that which was needed at the time to get a certain message to a certain person. As we are lifted by the whirlwind action of the Spirit and into another dimension, it may seem at times that we're not even walking on the earth, but we are very much here, and at the precise moment when it is needed, we have a true message to give, and it will be delivered at the precise timing to the precise individual or individuals, in spite of the fact that we are lifted into another dimension. So don't belittle the fact that there is a place of living in a higher realm where to many people we are out of sight, so to speak. Some of us even hidden on the backside of the desert. But at the right time, we will have that true word, the truth, that is to be given, and it will be delivered, and it will be effective. So the whirlwind has an elevating, lifting, carrying effect, a hiring, if I can put it that way, a lifting into a higher dimension. And this is a part of the vision of the glory of Yahweh that Ezekiel saw. Now, Ezekiel may not have understood it And we don't understand it very well either. But one facet of the glory is this elevating effect of the Spirit that there is in our lives, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our minds. It lifts and elevates into another level or plane or dimension of spirit and understanding and knowledge and reality. All right, let's go further concerning the whirlwind. You not only find that it carried Elijah up into heaven, but in Job 38 and 1, and also in 40:16, you will find that Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind. Part of the vision of the glory of Yahweh is that there is an answer. There is a message. Now, we can carry this right back to Elijah. For though he was carried up in a whirlwind, he was able to bring forth the right message at the right time to the right individual. And so it was in the case of Job. Job had been tried, and he had been plagued, and he was covered with boils, and his friends left him, and his wife said, curse him and die. And everything seemed to be against him. He lost his family. He lost his riches. He lost his cattle. He lost his sheep. Everything that he had lost. But in the end, he had twice what he had before. And it was toward the end of this testing time in the life of Job that there came the answer of Yahweh out of the whirlwind to Job. How many of you have been tested for years, almost beyond endurance, until it seemed that you despaired of life itself because of the intense pressures, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally? And people are constantly saying, I am so pressed, I can hardly stand it. There is a pressure that is upon us. We are being put through the trying times. We are being put through the fires of affliction. We are being put through the great iron furnace. We are tested until it seems that there is no hope, and we almost lose hope in the midst of the terrific pressures that are upon us. Nevertheless, as the time of the testing draws to a close, there comes the revelation of the glory of Yahweh. And part of that glory is that the whirlwind comes speeding out, rushing, mighty wind. And there comes the voice of Yahweh, the I Am, begins to speak out of that whirlwind and give us an answer. And like Job, I am sure that as we hear that answer from Yahweh, we will say, I have uttered things that I didn't understand. And I have not been altogether right in my knowledge of you. But the one thing was that Job held fast in his faith and kept his faith sound in the Most High. And so it is as we are entering another time period, and the pressures will be lifting somewhat, or we're coming to the close of those pressures, there is coming an answer from Yahweh, the I Am, and it's going to be spoken out of the whirling, elevating wind of the Spirit. The Spirit shall breathe upon us. The Spirit shall breathe the truth into us. By the way, I had a friend here just a week ago. Some of you know him, Chuck Dodge and his wife, Eleanor. They came visiting, and we happened to mention the name of Yahweh and its pronunciation. And I had, in my own spirit, I had said it has to be all vowels. Yahweh, which is all with an open mouth and no interference with the consonants. The consonants cut the passage of air. And I had said this myself, but I had not heard anyone else. And while we were talking, Chuck brought up the same thing. He mentioned how it was an open mouth sound with no cunning of the air, the breath, or the spirit. And my heart leaped within me, for I felt that truly this was a confirmation of what had been spoken into my own spirit. And so it is that Yahweh, at the open mouth, no interference of the breath or spirit, answers us out of the whirlwind. And I am sure that we are going to be left with an open mouth. This reminds me of what is spoken in the book of Revelation, where it is written, I am the Alpha and the Omega. These are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, and both of them are vowels. I am the great the Alpha. Oh, how often we use that term, when we are totally pleased. And also, I am the Omega, which is the great which is a word of surprise, a word of elation, a word of exhilaration. And so it is with Yahweh. The mouth is open. The spirit flows freely. There's no hindrance of the consonant. And so it is that Yahweh. I know the King James says Lord, but the Hebrew is Yahweh answered Job out of the activity, the activation, the moving, the whirling, the elevation of the spirit. He spoke to Job and he gave Job the answer that he needed. And one of the things that he spoke to him was, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? And the morning stars sang together, and all of the sons of El, or God, or Yahweh, shouted for joy. Where were you, Job? He didn't say to Job, you were not. He asked him where he was, which indicated that he was somewhere at that time. Yes, there comes that revelation of our pre-existence. It comes out of the whirling wind or the spirit that we pre-existed in spirit form before the foundation of the world. And we also cooperated with the Elohim and the Yahweh in the great work of creation. Oh, the revelations that are going to come forth out of the whirlwind, for Yahweh answered Job out of the whirlwind. Out of this lifting elevation of the spirit, which is a part or a segment of the glory of Yahweh, come the answers for which we have longed and groaned and prayed and cried for so long. I would encourage you that there is coming a revelation such as we have never known before, and we are going to be utterly amazed at what is revealed unto us. Take courage and don't in any case throw the baby out with the bathwater when you're trying to decipher whether this is truth or that is truth. There is a lot of truth these days that is mixed up with a lot of error. But when you throw the error out, don't throw the truth away. Maintain the truth. If you find a pearl in the pig pen, get the pearl and get out of the pig pen. In other words, let the revelation come by any means or channel. But I assure you there is revelation coming that is going to be so pure, so holy, so wonderful, that absolutely no filthy or defiled thing is going to be able to enter into it. It is going to be so pristine pure, because Yahweh himself is going to answer us out of the whirlwind and bring us into knowledge and wisdom and understanding, the like of which we have never known before, or no one else has ever known, except those who were there in the beginning when the foundations of the earth were laid. A while back, when the Spirit spoke to my heart, he said that there would be a revelation, there would be a restoration of the knowledge that we had before the scriptures were written. You say that is almost sacrilegious to say that, that there is nothing before the scriptures. Oh, no. Before the world was, there was all knowledge and all wisdom, and we knew it all then. And at this time, as the whirlwind is moving as a part of the revelation of the glory, the mind and the spirit are opened up so that what we knew before the foundation of the world will be brought back to our remembrance. Was it not promised by Yahushua the Messiah that the Spirit would bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever he had told them? You say, but that's what he spoke while yet on earth. No, carry that back into the millenniums past. And many things were spoken to us, and we knew them before the foundation of the world. And that knowledge will be brought back to our remembrance, and we shall have the knowledge that was before even the scriptures were written. Marvelous, marvelous are the ways of the Most High. And in this hour, we are coming into that revelation of the glory. And part of it is the revelation of the whirlwind, which is the mother in the Godhead, out of which Yahweh is going to answer all of our questions and bring to our remembrance all things that we knew before the earth was formed. Carrying on a bit further concerning the whirlwind, in Isaiah 40 and 24 and 41 and 16 and Jeremiah 23, 19 and Jeremiah 30, 23, you will find that the whirlwind is mentioned, but in every case, you will find that it has to do with the removal of mountains, the removal of princes, the removal of kings, and facing the lawless or the wicked with the absolute power of the Most High, in which case it is going to destroy the wicked or the lawless. Or we could go further. We'll say it will destroy the lawlessness. It may take the lake of fire to bring forth the purging and the purifying. And by the way, you will find it interesting that the lake of fire is feminine, which again has to do with the motherhood. And it's going to take that kind of fire to purify and take out the lawlessness. But it does not destroy the wicked. It destroys the wickedness that is within them. I do not know how long it will take to bring about that restoration and restitution. But in the ages to come, there shall be a bringing back of all things into him, where he shall become all in all. The princes and the kings of the earth are going to be faced with the whirling wind of the Spirit, or the Mother in the Godhead. They are going to be faced with the reality of the revelation of the glory of Yahweh, and it is going to bring them down from their elevated position and bring them down into the place of humility where they need to be brought. And so this whirling wind, the revelation of the motherhood, which is also a revelation of the glory of Yahweh, is going to bring everything into subjection to him who is all in all. This is a part of the vision of the glory. Now, as we look at the earth today, we can see so much unrighteousness, so much wickedness, so much cruelty. We see men usurping high places. We see despots. We see men with ulterior motives. We see the monetary system in utter to clean up the earth. And I don't know how long it is going to take, but it's going to take some time. Don't think it's going to be done overnight. Without a doubt, the first 1,000 years will be dealing with Israel and revealing who the true Israelites really are. It will take that length of time to bring them into the knowledge of who they are. And so it is that the ages will carry on And at the end of the ages, then cometh the end, says the scripture. Then cometh the end when everything will be handed back to the Father, that he might be all in all. So take courage, my dear friend. There is a time of cleanup, and it's going to be a long period of time to cleanse everything out where the lion and the lamb can lie down together. And the bear will eat straw like the ox, and the beastly nature of men will be done away with. This is going to take time, but Yahweh is not in a hurry. We are the ones who are in a hurry. But we are at that time now of the revelation of the glory of Yahweh, and at the time of this revelation comes the revelation also of immortality, where we come into life abounding, life in its fullness. What is called or translated as eternal life is literally the life of the ages. We are not just after life. We are after the life of the ages. When the ages are finished, there will be nothing but life. There will be no death. There will be no sin. There will be no corruption. But what we want now is the life of the ages, that we might live through this next stage, this next 1,000 years, and on into the thousands of years that follow it. That is what we are after. The eternal life, or the life of the ages. And this is all tied up with the revelation of the glory of Yahweh, a segment of which is the whirlwind, or the motherhood, in their lifting, exalting, elevating work in our lives. We first have to be elevated before we can cause anybody else to be lifted up. And so it is that the whirlwind is lifting, elevating, speaking, answering, opening knowledge. It is also doing away with the corruption, first in us, and then the corruption in the earth, the corruption in the heavenly. And I go so far as to say that it says the things in heaven had to be cleansed with better sacrifices than the Old Testament sacrifices, which means there has to be a cleansing of the heaven or heavens also. All of this has to do with the lifting, swirling, rushing, elevating wind of the motherhood that brings us into another dimension. And no matter how high you go in the dimensions of the spirit, there will be an opposing force that has to be thrust out that you might possess your real possession. Oh, I tell you, this message of the glory of Yahweh is almost beyond our comprehension. Now, it says that the whirlwind came out of the north. Now, there is significance in that phrase, that it came out of the north. The north actually comes from the Hebrew, which means to hide, to hoard, to keep secret. Does this not remind you of some of the scriptures? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a secret place, and the north means the secret place, to keep secret, to hide. Oh, I tell you, there is a lot of meaning in the word north that we have not even comprehended. Do you remember that it was Lucifer who had designs in sitting upon the sides of the north? And you look up that word sides, and the root means to be soft, and it's translated as flank, body, loin, thigh, side. It literally speaks of the generative part of the individual. What was it that Lucifer wanted? He wanted to sit on the sides, or the generating powers of the north, the secret place. He wanted to bring forth something. He wanted to generate something. He said, I will be like the Most High. Well, that's what he said. But you find that he was cast down and thrust downward, and a third of the angels went with him. but he desired the generative powers that were in the north. No wonder the whirlwind, as the feminine, the motherhood, came out of the north. She had the powers of generation in her, the powers of conception and bringing forth. And she had these great powers, and he wanted to sit upon the sides of the north in the generating powers. I wonder if Lucifer, way back in those many, many millenniums past, did not have designs upon the mother Godhead, mother in the Godhead. And if this is so, if his designs were to take her and through her, he would generate something out of himself. It is no wonder that the father, in his fury and his jealousy, cast him out and cast him down and put a curse upon him. I tell you that there are secrets back there that we haven't even begun to comprehend and are almost afraid to think of them. We might even go further and bring into this the whole family of Yahweh, which would include the father, the mother, the son, the daughter. Perhaps he had designs upon the daughter. For the daughter, will you read of her in Proverbs? She is called wisdom, and does it not say concerning Lucifer that he was full of wisdom? Perhaps he had unholy designs upon her. He was after a place on the sides of the north, and if he is masculine, he was after the feminine. It was the feminine part that was taken out of the sides of Adam to make the woman. And this had its fullness or its true picture in the heavens, where the feminine part was taken out of the father to make the mother, and likewise the daughter was taken out of the son. And so Lucifer had unholy designs. He wanted to sit upon the sides, the feminine part, the procreational part of the north, of the hidden place. He wanted to sit there. He would be like the Most High. He in himself had all kinds of ideas that he wanted to propagate, and he wanted to bring into existence something that he was not allowed to bring into existence. Then you will find another scripture that says Zion is upon the north, upon the sides of the north. We say that Zion means light. Well, it does mean light. But do you know what it also means? It also means a desert, an arid place, a wilderness. Why? Because it is the sun, the terrific heat of the sun, with lack of moisture, that produces the Zion. We talk about it in glory, and we use glorious terms about it. Don't kid yourself. There is a wilderness through which we pass. There is a desert. There is an arid place. But it is true that Zion does mean sunny, but it's the sun and the lack of rain that produces this condition. But furthermore, Zion also means a sign or a waymark. Oh, Zion is a sign that points unto something else. And by the way, Zion is feminine. There is only one time when any masculine term is used in reference to Zion, and it's used in the book of Lamentations, where it speaks about the defiled condition of the sons of Zion. Otherwise, it is used in a feminine sense all the way through the scriptures. Is it not womanhood as a whole who has been blasted by the heat of the sun and left in an arid condition? Yes, it is. But she shall be as a city that is set upon a hill, which cannot be hid, and she shall be filled with light, even as the mother is filled with light. And we desire to come to the heights of Zion, for Zion was actually the city of the kings. But the kings never come to the city until they first recognize the motherhood that's in the Godhead, and then shall they climb the sides of Zion and come to the top of it. There is so much more that could be said on this, but I would like to add this point, that a mountain or a hill is the shape of the breast of the woman, and it takes the nourishment of the feminine to bring anyone, man, woman, or child, into the height of the kingly city of Zion. And I might also add, it is a queenly city also. So the whirlwind, the moving, elevating, lifting, carrying power of the Spirit, which is a part of the glory of Yahweh, is also connected with Zion, which is the city of light, the city of the kings and the queens, the city to which we desire to come. Even in the book of Revelation, you see 144,000 standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb. Why, of course, they have scaled the height. They have come up by the nourishment of the Spirit, and they stand atop that mountain, and they sing a song that no man can learn. It can't be taught to anyone. No one is able to learn it. It is only sung by those of the First Fruits Company. And by the way, First Fruits can also be feminine as well as masculine. So you find a combination of both there. Let me wind up this message with this segment of the glory that Ezekiel looked. He looked. He had his eyes open. And he beheld. He saw. He looked. He saw. And we're at the time of the opening of the eyes, and when we look and we see that a segment of the glory is that of the moving, elevating, carrying whirlwind of the Spirit that brings us into another dimension, that brings us into knowledge, that brings us to purification, that brings us to the heights of the mountain, that brings us to an understanding of the foul spirit that was in Lucifer when he desired to sit upon the sides of the north. I trust that this message will be of encouragement, or at least enlightenment to you. May it bless your inward parts, and may it bless you in body and in spirit and in mind.